Soon as we wake up in the morning, that's when the voices start. Don't take long before they're gone, from your head right to your heart. We got fears about the future, regrets about the past, and stuff we're not sure where it's from, but it's coming on fast. We're all thinking stuff together, but we're feeling all alone. And we're making up this movie, our own motion picture show. When we walk out in the world each day, it's a battle for your mind. Some folks want your money, some folks want your time, and they all want your attention, and they'll get it how they can. God, well, the garden of your mind, there lies your promised land. 'Cause we're all made up of all that stuff we're taking in each day. And if we don't watch ourselves, we'll take our lives away. It's what we're thinking about. 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 It's painting the scenes of our lives.
Yes, indeed. It's what we're thinking about that is painting the scenes of our lives. Good morning and welcome. I'm Ken Ludwig. And this is what we're thinking about. This is your resource for learning to swim in the infinite ocean of pure potentiality. This is an island of affirmative intentionality in a sea of negativity. This is the place to free yourself from all those sentiments of blaming or resentment, from all those thoughts of lack and limitation. This is where you learn to lift yourself up from the depths of the conspiracy theorists, the naysayers, all of those who are anti-this and anti-that and anti-everything. Now, I know you know who I mean. These are the people who would totally disempower us all with their messages of how we're all being taken advantage of, how we are all being used, how the government, the cults, the Zionists, the globalists, and every other special interest group imaginable, you just name them, how they are all in charge. And you, my friend, well, you're in control of nothing. You are powerless, of course. Well, right here, this show, this is where we draw the line. This show is where we raise ourselves up and declare that we will no longer be the victims of the voices of negativity, not even the ones in our own heads. The motto of this network, the Republic Broadcasting Network, is because you can handle the truth. On this show, we're going to talk about real truth. We're going to talk about universal truth, about the truth of spiritual principles. Gandhi had a theory, and it's been referred to as truth power. The basic idea is that we are all capable of recognizing the great truths of life. Now, I'm here to prove that theory because I absolutely believe that no matter what your religious beliefs, no matter what philosophy of life or spiritual path you follow, you can and you will recognize the great metaphysical truths of the universe. And that is what we'll focus on in this show. You are in control. You are the co-creator of your reality. You can decide and choose to no longer be the victim, and you can do it by virtue of what you're thinking about. That's the name of this show, and that, my friends, is really the truth of your life. So once again, welcome. It's a beautiful Saturday morning here in Colorado, real taste of fall out there. I hope it's beautiful where you are. We're going to talk a little bit about the beautiful weather, because it's a subject that's becoming nearer and dearer to my heart. The old Chinese proverb is, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And I think that's the theme of today's show. We will absolutely be looking to bring some light onto the subjects we discuss. I'll be looking to hear from you and find out what you're thinking about this day. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Remember the rules of engagement. Excuse me, I must know something about the subject around which you wish to talk. I'll talk about anything, but I have to know something about it. Otherwise, it's your show and it's not mine, and that doesn't make any sense. Remember, we will absolutely blame no one for anything because we're clear that everything starts in our own hearts. And lastly, we will argue about nothing. We can certainly disagree, but we will not argue. We're going to take a break right here. This is Ken Ludwig, and this is what we're thinking about.
G you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back to the show. And again, good morning. This is Ken Ludwig, and this is what we're thinking about. I had an interesting reading this morning. It's every day when I get up, I meditate, read, and pray for an hour. And I read from a magazine called The Science of Mind. Science of Mind magazine last month in October celebrated 80 years of continuous publication. It first started in October of 1927. I think maybe a little bit later on in the show I'll read you something from the What they call the daily guides, which are every day there is just a little bit of there's a couple of quotations and just a nice uplifting couple of paragraphs, usually written by the same person for the entire the entirety of the month, and then there's an affirmation at the end. But they were originally started by the founder of the Science of Mind, or I'm sorry, the founder of Religious Science, who is Ernest Holmes. She wrote what we refer to in Religious Science as the textbook, which is called The Science of Mind. And the original guides were written in October of 1927 by him. And they're really, they're extraordinary, to say the least, they're extraordinary. So maybe I'll read one of those for you later on. But the one that I read this morning for November 3rd of this year was very interesting. The guides this month are being written by a lady named Karen Wiley. She is a practitioner with the United Centers for Spiritual Living, as am I. United Centers for Spiritual Living was formerly known as the United Church of Religious Science. She wrote these daily guides, and she writes them, as I said, she'll write one for every day in November. And this one this morning was interesting to me in that it kind of led into, kind of leads into what I wanted to talk about, something I wanted to just touch base on, really, that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And then kind of a message that that I've been getting more and more intuitively, if you will, but also from my readings, from reading books and from reading the magazines and newspapers I read to try and get a little fodder for this show. I'm getting more and more of this message around fear and peace, really, that is almost the antithesis of what we're being fed daily, in particular around this this insanely early political season leading up to next year's election. We're hearing an awful lot of negative stuff, if you will, for want of a better word at the moment, excuse me, that is based in fear and moves us away from peace and harmony. And I think this particular daily guide kind of speaks to that a little bit. It also leads right into this topic I wanted to talk about first. So I'm going to read this to you, or read most of it to you. And it starts with, when Mother Teresa received her Nobel Prize, she was asked, "What can we do to promote world peace?" Her answer was, "Go home and love your family." What Mother Teresa knew was that the fragmentation and pain in our family life radiates into the larger world, usually unconsciously, and affecting the way our governments, businesses, and religions operate. Creating peace and nonviolence in the world is an inside job. It does not depend upon changing someone else's mind about what he believes or does. As Mother Teresa suggested, we need to be mindful about our own lives. How are we promoting peace and nonviolence in our own home and environments? Are we creating places of safety, love, and harmony for our families? Are we taking care with what we feed our minds? Are we mindful of our own connection to the whole universe? Do we understand that in a larger sense, we are the trees, the rivers, the oceans, the air we breathe, and the forests? Protecting our natural resources is an act of peace. True peace is based on a respect and reverence for all life. For just a moment, imagine a world where we indeed all go home and love our families, where grace and love envelop us all. In peace I was created, and in peace I remain. excuse me, I got a little frog in my throat here this morning. Just ignore the consistent throat clearing until I get it out of there. But this daily guide touches on a couple of subjects that are near and dear to my heart. First is one of my favorite expressions is that all of our problems in this life come from our mistaken belief that something outside of our own hearts must change first. Mother Teresa speaks to that in terms of, it's actually just popped into my head here in mid-sentence. It's kind of a think globally, act locally mentality, and locally being as close to home as your family. It is the peace in our own hearts, the peace in our family lives, the peace that we express to the planet, to the natural resources of the planet, to the animals of the planet, and the plant life of the planet. It is that peace that we express that emanates out from us, and it is only by carrying that individual peace in our hearts that we can ever expect to have peace on this planet. And it seems to me that we are living in very treacherous times, and there are any number of ways that things could go in the opposite direction of peace, in particular when we are dealing with the Bush administration and their propensity for using the hammer and never bothering to have conversation with anyone. They kind of eliminate conversation as a tool in the global community, and obviously that's what diplomacy is all about, and that's why we have diplomats, and that's their deal. Of course, you know, it's diplomacy is all about paying attention to someone else, what someone else has to say, but diplomacy in a great many ways is really allowing someone else to have things your way. And that's what diplomacy is. You go and you talk and you come to consensus and you come to a thought process around both parties can live, and you don't have that constant and consistent bickering back and forth. There is no winner or loser. Too often, I think, in terms of this administration and our government, the way it's put together right now, everything is a zero-sum game. If we win, you lose. If you win, we lose. And I don't think that's the way it's put together. There should always be the give and take of communities and recognizing that every other country on this planet is just communities of people. I have a theory that I go by, and I think it plays because I think it's exactly right. Everybody on this planet, and that includes the most vile of criminals, whatever you can conjure up in your mind, rapists, murderers, whatever. Every single soul on this planet is doing exactly the same thing you're doing. They're doing exactly the same thing I'm doing, and that is the best we know how. Now, it would appear that at any given moment, certain people have better tools and maybe better equipped to deal with their circumstances than others. But the truth is, they're all just doing the best they can. And if we stop and think about the fact that all of these people we revile, that the members of the axis of evil, if you will, are just people, no different than we are. And if you stop and think about the fact that we have gone from maybe arguably most respected status on this planet to most reviled status on this planet, you might stop and just think, put on the other guy's shoes for a minute and think about how much they hate us and think to yourself, why would they hate us? We're nice guys. We're not doing anything wrong. We're doing the best we know how. We're trying to do the best we can on this planet. And then just flip the coin over and say, wow, they're probably thinking the exact same thing about themselves and wondering why we hate them. It's all about communication, my friends. It's all about what Maya Angelou said. We are more alike, my friend, than we are different. And that is the truth of all of us around the planet. Different ideologies, different thought processes, different means of government, whatever, different sociological structures, whatever the differences may be, the truth is we are all these spiritual beings put here by the divine to experience this human experience. And the closer we get to recognizing that there is a oneness among us, that we are all pretty much the same thing, until we get to that point, I like to think that Ernest Holmes put it, 51% of us need to get to that point. We get to 51%, we get a tipping point. We're a long ways away from 51%, but when we get to a point where you can look at your neighbor and recognize the face of God, if you will, in that person, recognize that maybe what they're doing is not to your liking, but truly what they are is this spiritual being working its way through this human experience the best they can at that particular moment. I think that's a big piece for all of us. Ernest Holmes has a great one-sentence description of spirituality. It's one of my favorite quotes in the world. Ernest Holmes says, spirituality is the constant and consistent attempt to see the presence of God in everyone and everything. I think that is just so spot on. It's so right on the money. And I think the operative words in that sentence are the constant and consistent attempt, because it's not necessarily an easy thing to see that in everyone all the time, every day. But if you are always attempting to do that, that will become your reality. We're going to take a break right here. This is Ken Ludwig. This is What We're Thinking About. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Isn't how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Welcome back to the show. I'm sorely tempted to just let that one play all the way through. That is just one of the great songs of all times. That's kind of an anthem for a generation, Blowing in the Wind is, and that's the one and the only Bob Dylan. Interesting. That's maybe a thought we'll touch on later on in the show, because I'm getting clearer and clearer and clearer about one of the reasons that this war in Iraq is going on. Well, heck, maybe we'll just talk about this right now. One of the reasons this war in Iraq is going on and spiraling downward, and people are starting to refer to it in the same terminology as Vietnam, the quagmire, and so forth and so on. There's lots and lots of reasons why this is happening, but some of them that have occurred to me lately are, first and foremost, the American people are not really invested in this war. If you recall, after 9/11, I've talked about this before, that after 9/11, the president had the great wartime message for us of just go out and shop and keep the economy going. which really didn't seem to be too painful a sacrifice to make for our upcoming and ongoing war effort. But the bigger piece of that is that there is no draft, that we have this all-volunteer army, and we get to see parents and loved ones who are clear that this soldier, this man or this woman who died in action, died doing what they loved because they volunteered to do that and they were defending the country. And that's all beautiful and it's wonderful, and I would never denigrate that even an iota. I have nothing but respect for people who wear the uniform, and this is coming from one of the consummate draft dodgers in the Vietnam era, folks. But I had nothing but respect for our soldiers back then. I have nothing but respect for our soldiers now. But we don't have people being conscripted into service where the government is saying, you will serve and you will go over there whether you like it or not, which is what we had in Vietnam and World War II and Korea, and what we had for 50 years or so, until the draft law expired and they just kind of let it go. I believe that's what happened. I mean, it expired at one point, and that's really how I avoided service in Vietnam, was the expiration of the draft. But I'm not sure if they just changed the law or if it eventually just went expired once again. I think it may have just expired because the Congress at the time of Vietnam, when they reinstated the draft law in 1970, I know that they were real trepidatious about continuing the draft because it gave gave us the opportunity to continue Vietnam. And the tide was certainly turning by 1970 on as far as the opinion of the country, as far as the popular support for the war, which had been waning for years. Certainly the Tet Offensive, that changed a lot of people's attitudes about it. But that the draft thing so involved so many families in the conflict who were not particularly, quotes, gung-ho. They were not, you know, you got a lot of soldiers now who are many generation soldiers. Their grandfathers and great-grandfathers were in the service, and they just continue the tradition. Then you have a lot of other people, a lot of minority people who are using the service as a legitimate means of climbing out of the ghetto, if you will, or whatever, but to improve their lives, which is just, it's a great opportunity for them, and I'm thrilled for them that they had that to take advantage of. But again, the flip side is that we don't have that investment of our emotional selves into this war. And the other thing that I think is, I don't know, I'm kind of torn about in the 60s, the late 60s and the early 70s, we ate dinner every night to the blood and gore of Vietnam. We saw wounded soldiers being dragged by their collars through the jungle by their comrades. We saw dead guys over a comrade's shoulder being hauled to a medevac helicopter. We saw all of these gruesome wartime photos. And actually, those were somewhat toned down because certainly the war was considerably more gruesome than what we even saw. But we don't now anymore see any of that. Of course, the Pentagon decided way back in Vietnam days that we were never going to see those pictures ever again. And so we don't get there is no emotional tie-in. We don't see the horror. We get the occasional body count. We don't even get to see anymore. They don't even want to just see the flag-draped coffins going into the transport planes. That's all kind of interesting to me because what it does is it's kind of sanitized the picture of war so that it's something that's going on away from us. It is not something close to us. And I think that there is a real call, going back to Bob Dylan's song, to Blowin' in the Wind. In the era of Vietnam, what changed the course of the government's activities in Vietnam was the uprising of public opinion. And it started in a great many ways with the music of the time, with Buffalo Springfield, with Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, those people writing their protest songs and protesting the war and activating the youth, the college students of this country. That was the beginning of the end of the Vietnam War. I think it's high time that the people of this country, each and every one of us, rises up and lets this administration know that war is not the answer. War is unacceptable, There will not be peace on this planet as long as the strongest, most powerful country on the planet has a first response of blowing something up to make things right.
Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back. Buffalo Springfield and Mr. Soul. What a great, great, great tune that is. Just kind of goofy words in some ways, but boy, I love that song. Anyway, the final thought there on that piece before the break was that we need to become a country whose first response is not to kill back or to bomb something or blow something up. I think a great example of just how numb we've become. How, and by numb, I don't mean insensitive. I mean numb as in stupid. And I don't like to be judgmental in that sense. But I just this really pisses me off that we have this lunatic running around. This Jay Leno calls him. What does he call him? Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad. And this guy is obviously a loose cannon. He is he's just not really, really with it. He's not together. He's kind of he's a dangerous character. And in order to demonstrate our displeasure with their nuclear program, the president of the country goes ahead and does all of these sanctions, these economic sanctions, which is all well and good. I'm all about the sanctions. That's all good. You need to have some show of economic impact on these guys, especially in these quotes developing countries, to get their attention. But then you got to talk to the people. You absolutely have to talk to them. I saw General Wesley Clark on Bill Maher's show the other night, and he said point blank, you need the hammer. You absolutely have to have the hammer, but then you need to have conversation. And what this administration does is slam down the hammer and walk away. They don't know how to talk. They don't want to talk. And again, I think it is this, this president has some real, I think, ego problems with the win-lose situation, the zero-sum game. He figures that if Ahmadinejad walks away with any kind of a win from us, then we lose. And he is so far off base. These guys just so don't get it. I'm not sure if that's a neocon mentality or what that is, but, boy, these guys are just strangers in a strange land, and they're making the planet a more dangerous place to live. And I keep saying this over and over and over again at this point. The big key here is, can a Democratic Congress and can a maybe more invigorated populace, maybe a more tuned in populace, can we prevent these guys from doing any more significant damage over the course of the next 15 months? The first job of the next president of this country is going to be to repair our relationships with virtually everybody on the planet. That's sad, and it's pathetic, and it is something that has occurred over the course of the last not quite 7 years, because we were in pretty good standing with everybody on the planet during the Bill Clinton years. And we'll like Bill Clinton or dislike Bill Clinton, he still left office with an economic surplus. He left office with America being held in high regard around the planet. And he did that by virtue of great diplomacy. Once again, whether you like Bill Clinton or not, I don't care. If you're an intelligent, thinking human being, you recognize that Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. George W. Bush was a legacy student at Yale with a C average at best. That says a lot to me right there. Anyway, moving on to the next subject here, I'm going to go back to that daily guide that we read. That's very funny. I'm feeling a little melancholy there about that whole first portion of the show. It saddens me greatly to be part of the greatest country in the world. Maybe I'm not done. Recognize this. Recognize that simply by virtue of an accident of geographical birth, that every person in America could be living somewhere else. You could all have been born in sub-Saharan Africa. You could all be a child of dead AIDS parents. You could all be an oppressed minority of Kurds in northern or in Turkey. You could all be women wearing burqas in some theocratic Islamic state. There is simply this feeling that we have always had of superiority because we have freedom. We have had freedom. Maybe we're giving up a little bit of that. But there's an aspect of us that has always been a little arrogant. And I actually don't think it's particularly a bad thing, because it was an arrogance about being being part of and knowing that you were part of, quotes, the greatest society on the planet. And that was all very cool. But I think that we have taken an enormous dip in our claim to being the greatest society on the planet, because we are now starting to do things, the wiretapping, the waterboarding and the torture thing. You know, there's things that we had railed against other countries doing for years and years and years that we're now participating in, and they are things that are absolutely anathema to the Constitution. They're anathema to the idea of freedom, and they're anathema to the idea that the government is our servant and not our leaders. These guys aren't the boss, folks. These guys are our servants. That's what they're supposed to be. And what do you do when you have a servant who is not doing the job? You fire their sorry butt. And we should have fired this guy in 04. Now, fortunately, the law fires him in 08, but we need to be a little bit more mindful about what we're putting at the helm. We want – you know what? This just flashed into my head. The president of the United States is not so much the leader as he is the majordomo. He's the guy that is supposed to be keeping the house in order and making sure that all the other servants are doing their job. He's not supposed to be telling the owner of the home, the master of the castle, what to do. And that's where somewhere along the line we've gotten our signals crossed and we've gotten mixed up. And the Bush administration and the neocons, and that, again, I have nothing but judgment around Dick Cheney, so maybe I'll just say Dick Cheney and that'll speak for itself. But I think we need to be more mindful of who we put in office, of who's going to be at the helm, of who's going to be our next majordomo, and make sure that we have someone who is at least intelligent enough, at least mindful enough to engage the other peoples of the world as opposed to make enemies of them and to just, you know, my way or the highway is not the way this works. It just isn't. That's what diplomacy, again, is all about. It's about everybody walking away, shaking their heads, saying, I can live with this agreement, and it's all good, and nobody feeling like they lost face, nobody feeling like... right now is about getting the other guy. George W. Bush is about getting them. I don't know. Maybe he spent too many years in baseball, and it's like win at all costs or whatever the hell goes through his little mind. But at this point in history, I'm fearful of the next 15 months. They're rattling sabers around Iran. I find it interesting when we talk about we're going to have some kind of military conflict with Iran. With what? What are we going to throw at them? The Boy Scouts? I mean, we have a completely overstretched and undermanned armed forces as it is. They have upped the due date for increasing the army by whatever it is, 35,000 or 40,000 personnel from, I think it was 2012. It's now 2010 they need to do that. And the generals, the powers that be, are saying we're going to have one heck of a time doing that and meeting that goal. The question in my mind is, do you meet the goal? Do you have real soldiers? Do you have people that are prepared to do anything out there? It's just, it's all a little unnerving to me. Because I was proud to be an American, and I think we've lost a little bit of our collective pride around that because we recognize now that a good deal of the world looks down their noses at us, where in the not-so-distant past, everybody looked up to the United States of America. I think maybe that's the huge point right there. We need to put in office a president that the rest of the world can look up to, not look down upon and laugh behind his back. So back to this daily guide and on to the next subject. I didn't help any. I got feeling a little bit more melancholy around all that. But here's the question that was near the end of this daily guide. Are we mindful of our own connection to the whole universe? Do we understand that in a larger sense, we are the trees? We are the rivers, the oceans, the air we breathe, and the forests. Protecting our natural resources is an act of peace. True peace is based on a respect and reverence for all life. For just a moment, imagine a world where we indeed all go home to love our families, where grace and love envelop us all. The peace, of course, that I'm talking about is the peace towards the planet, recognizing that Mother Earth is a living, breathing organism. And there's we'll touch base on that in a second, I guess. But there's a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Al Gore winning the Nobel Prize. We talked about global climate change and sharing that prize with the United Nations Intergovernmental Agency on Climate Change, which was a collection of 2,500 scientists from 130 different countries who participated in the research on climate change. And here's the point here. All right, let me go back. Let's step back for a second. Here's a great article that I got from this magazine that I get called The Week. Great magazine because they give you a really balanced viewpoint by giving you comparative unbalanced viewpoints. And here's what I mean. Santa might want to trade in that sleigh for something seaworthy, said Andrew Revkin of the New York Times. Or perhaps he should just move his workshop away from the North Pole, where 1 million square miles of sea ice, that's the size of six Californias, simply melted away over the summer. The ice's vanishing act was a shock to even the bleakest of eco-pessimists, who now say global warming may be happening faster than even they expected. A few optimistic souls managed to be heartened by the brief appearance of the mythical Northwest Passage shipping route through the Arctic. But that's little consolation to the various species for whom the melting ice cap spells disaster, like polar bears, walruses, penguins, and eventually humans. The next viewpoint on that would be no need to panic, said skeptical environmentalist author Bjorn Lomborg in the Washington Post. Even if we do nothing about greenhouse gas emissions, climate scientists say sea level will rise by a mere 12 inches over this century. That's roughly how much the sea has already risen over the last century, and we seem to have coped with that quite nicely. We do need to fix global warming in the long run, but it hardly poses a threat to human civilization. Imposing major cutbacks on carbon emissions now would cost trillions of dollars that could otherwise be spent ending hunger or eradicating malaria. And all you would achieve is to delay the sea level rise by a mere 5 years. The only sensible long-term solution to climate change is to focus the world's best minds on developing new, low-carbon sources of energy so we can halve emissions without having to wreck our economies. And a final opinion here. Before this summer, that argument might have made sense, said Thomas Homer Dixon in the New York Times. But with the Arctic turning into a vast, open expanse of water this summer, panic is beginning to look appropriate. In their previous predictions of global warming's pace, it now appears climate scientists didn't fully take into account the various feedback loops inherent in Earth's interlinked climate systems. Higher temperatures don't only mean melting ice caps. Because the ice cap is shrunk, it then reflects less sunlight back into space, which results in even higher temperatures. And as the oceans warm, they absorb less carbon dioxide. It all adds up to a vicious circle of ever-accelerating global warming. We need to act now, and not 30 years from now, if we plan to have a future on this swiftly melting planet. So there's a couple of different thoughts on the climate change thing, and I guess my point is, it's interesting to argue back and forth the extent of it, the development of it. I love my favorite argument really is that it is global climate change is a cyclical thing. It happens periodically. It's going to happen no matter what. And that's all legitimate argument and it's all absolute science. But the other science is these 2,500 scientists from 130 countries from the United Nations Intergovernmental Agency on Climate Change, these guys all agree that the climate is changing. I had a caller on a couple of weeks ago who he said point blank, those 2,500 scientists were bought and paid for. That's a lovely conspiracy theory, but the truth is when you get 2,500 guys involved in a conspiracy, somewhere along the line, somebody's going to recognize you can make a lot of money by breaking the silence. There is not some big scientific omerta going on here where everybody is keeping silent for the protection of the scientific mafia, if you will. The truth is that there is no conspiracy around this. Global warming is happening. Climate change is happening. And I think it's pretty obvious that probably a good deal of it is just a cyclical pattern on the planet that periodically the climate changes, and that's what's happening. But here's the caveat to that. There are 6 billion people living on this planet, 6 billion bodies who are contributing gases, chemicals, emissions, waste, cutting down trees, using up natural resources. Nobody in their right mind, no logical thinking human being, can deny for one second that there is an impact of 6 billion bodies on this planet. There absolutely has to be a huge impact. And here's the thing. We are the only species on the planet that is capable of, A, mitigating its effects, mitigating what it does on the planet that is contributing to climate change, contributing to the decline of the environment and the decline of the sustainability and livability of this planet. And we are the only ones capable of then mitigating the damage that has already been done and helping the poorer peoples of the world, people who are less able to deal with these changes than we are. We're going to take a break here. This is Ken Ludwig. This is What We're Thinking About. We're going to be back in about 3 minutes, and we'll continue this talk about climate change.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free. 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Perculite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perculite, with its exclusive black Perky filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perculite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perculite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Trying to pick a fight with everyone you need. You seem
All right, welcome back. Just got the this short segment here before the end of the first hour of the show. And we're talking about climate change. We're talking about being the only species on the entire planet that's capable of making a change in our effect on the planet and then making some corrections around the effects that we've already had. There's some things around this whole climate change deal that I find to be the things that are being maybe not talked about, things that are maybe being ignored. And they are the disease factors. As things warm, as waters warm, more disease-carrying bacteria and insects will move into climates or regions where they have never been before. A great example of that is this amoeba. It's a killer amoeba that infects swimmers, and it eats their brain tissue. It happens more often in boys than it does girls, and they're conjuring up the reason for that being that boys are a little more aggressive in the water and tend to do long dives and stuff. And what happens is the water just basically, water gets flushed up your nose while you're swimming and while you're diving and those kinds of things. And this amoeba gets in, it enters your body through your nose and it goes to your brain and eats your brain and kills you. It is a waterborne disease that is basically comes from warmer water. And as the waters warm in this country from the change in climate, and understand that the warming water is a huge part of the entire global climate change. And that has a lot to do with the emissions of gases and so forth and so on. But that kind of stuff is going to happen more and more often. We are going to start to see germs appear in our lives that we knew nothing of previously. That's the kind of stuff that the climate change will bring upon us. The other thing that is a huge piece of this is as different places, different parts of the planet become too dry or too hot to live on, basically too hot, too dry is the real problem, there will be migrations. And In the olden days when we had climate change and the population of the entire planet might have been a billion people, there were migrations all the time when the planet changed. When temperatures changed or grasslands changed, people moved elsewhere. That was easy back then. It ain't so flippin' easy when there's 6 billion of us to move. That's the end of our first hour here. We're going to take a short break. We'll finish this conversation when we come back. This is Ken Ludwig. This is what we're thinking about. Be back in a few.
We're all thinking stuff together, but we're feeling all alone. And we're making up this movie, our own motion picture show. When we walk out in the world each day, it's a battle for your mind. Some folks want your money, some folks want your time, and they all want your attention. And they'll get it how they can. God, well, the garden of your mind, there lies your promised land. Cause we're all made up of all that stuff we're taking in each day. And if we don't watch ourselves, we'll take our lives away.
With